So, what do? When you have moments like when your whole world gets turned upside down. So I was searching for a Bible study tonight, and God just kept bringing me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I know this chapter is very familiar to you, and you know that this chapter really deals with the rapture of the church and our expectation there and our great hope. But I just could not get away from verse number 13. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are," say that word, "asleep." I'm so glad that word is there. I believe that every word of this Bible is the inspired word of God. I guess when I was a kid, I used to be afraid to die. In some aspects, being the unknown, I guess we all have a little bit of fear of dying. But the more that you know the Lord and walk with the Lord and learn the Lord, and the more people that go before you, and pretty soon it's not as scary. I used to have visions of dying a horrible death. Most of that was because I was watching things on television I shouldn't have been watching. Pastor, what's it like when a Christian dies? It's like you go to sleep. I don't know about you, but it's never been painful for me to go to sleep. It's never been scary. Matter of fact, I don't even necessarily know when I fall asleep unless I'm drooling or snoring. You know, I don't know, some of you have gone before me, but my snoring now wakes me up. Is that normal at 42 years of age? I can literally hear myself snoring. And then the other day, I was sleeping and I could literally feel my lips going. And I thought, what is going on with me? No more sleeping in the chair, man. Tell you what, getting old is tough. Concerning them which are asleep. So let me ask you this question. You afraid to die? You afraid to die? If you died tonight, where would you go? Pulling weeds on Monday, dead Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Studying to preach a funeral. Headed to Lansing to go to a preacher's meeting, dead at 6 o'clock. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no what? Hope. I don't know about you, but I find myself tonight so grateful for hope. Hope. Precious is hope. Powerful is hope. Needed is hope. You let a man or a woman lose their hope and you have a lost or given up person. And so I find myself tonight just enjoying my hope that God has given to us. And I want to remind you of the hope that God has given. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, and you don't have to turn to that one, you might just write it down, but it talks about the power of hope and what hope is. And some of the words that the Bible uses to describe the power of hope, one of them is found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19. And it says that hope is called an anchor. And the Bible goes on to say it's both sure and it's steadfast. I have found that to be true in the last 24 hours, that hope really can be an anchor, sure and steadfast. And no matter what the storms of life may bring to you, or no matter what your circumstances may bring, no matter what your failures may bring, no matter how hard your dreams crash or your vision doesn't come to fruition, there is a hope that can anchor you in the storms of life. Sure and steadfast. Go, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, which is just a couple of book pages back to your right. And look, if you would, at verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is, say those two words, our hope. People look for a lot of things for hope. People look for hope in others. People look for hope in relationships. People look for hope in circumstances. People look for hope in victories. People look for hope in just blessing or things. But I'm going to tell you something. If hope is going to be an anchor to you, and it's going to set you sure and steadfast, you better understand that hope is a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. No matter what situation you find yourself in tonight. Pastor, my life is in trouble. Well, there's hope. No, you don't understand. I'm in deep trouble. No, you don't understand. There's a resurrected Lord. And the Lord has to be in Himself our hope. Not your plan. Not things coming together. Not loose ends tightening up. Hope, if it's going to be an anchor that sets us straight, has got to always be directed to the person of Jesus Christ. I'm finding in my grief that where do I go? The only place I have to go is to the Lord. And I find Him to be a wonderful hope. Go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see something. I think it's important. You ever been so burdened, you just don't have any energy? You ever been so distracted that, so laden that you don't want to get off the couch, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to go, you don't want to do something, and you know that hope is in the Lord, and you know the truths of the Word of God are what they are, eternal. But you don't even know where to begin for your walk of hope. Pick, if you would, please, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now watch this. Which is Christ, where, class? In you, the what? So if Christ is our hope, and He is our hope, amen? Where is our hope? He's in us. It's not in me in my flesh. It's not in me in my person. It's not in me in my ability. But it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He promised He would never leave me nor forsake me. Sometimes, no matter if you're laying flat on your back or if you've dropped to your knees or you're prostrate on your stomach, listen, where you begin is with that personal relationship with the Lord. God, You're my God. You're my Lord. You're in me. You indwell in me. You're there by Your Spirit. I know that hope is within me. Now, God, it's not in my ability, but You're in me. And so I ask You and I beg You, I plead with You, I pray to You that You will strengthen me, enable me, encourage me. That's why you should be constantly in prayer without ceasing. In you, the hope of glory. Four things have given me great hope tonight just to help me to be strong, and I wanted to give you these hopes. The Bible talked about 1 Thessalonians. He said, we're not allowed to sorrow as others which have no hope. So as a believer, even at the point of death, there's hope there. And the Bible talks a lot about hope. I want you to find, if you would, Titus chapter 1. Titus is right alongside 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. Find Titus chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. Actually, verse 1 we'll pick up with. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of, say those two words, eternal life. Now, when the Bible uses hope, it's not talking about something that might happen. It's talking about something that really hasn't happened yet. It's a sure thing. It's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet in totality. And so we understand that when we're glorified in our new bodies and we have eternal life as far as with that new body, but I guarantee you now if we have the Son, we have life and we have eternal life. And I don't know about you, but at the death of a loved one, or when I think about my father-in-law tonight, all day I just kept thinking, thank God for eternal life. Life on the earth goes so fast. What is your life but a vapor? 72 years old, 70 plus 2. How many are 80 plus in the room? 80 plus. God's given you extra time. But even if you live to be 100, what is your life but a vapor? I don't know. I'm so grateful that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know that I have eternal life. Tommy said, Dad, will we know Papa when we get to heaven? It's a pretty good question from a grandkid. Will we know Papa when we get to heaven? The Bible says that we will be known as we are known. What does that mean? That means absolutely we'll know one another. We'll look a lot better. Praise God for that. But you'll know one another. We'll be married to the Lord, but we'll know one another. Kill my body. Do what they want to. But I have eternal life. What a security. What a hope. What a footing to stand upon. If you're out there tonight and you don't know that you have eternal life, I don't know how you handle life. What do you grip onto? Well, I grip onto my money. Bible said money has wings, it flies away. Pastor, I grip onto my relationships. How's that working for you? Well, Pastor, I'm holding on to my health. I exercise. Nobody took more vitamins than my father-in-law. Nobody did more exercise than him. Nobody cared more for their health than he did. It's appointed unto man. You can die healthy. God just says, come home. But I'm healthy. Come on, you're going home. And you go home. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you don't have eternal life tonight, eternal life is available to you through the Lord. I think about that man up there, and I think about for 35 years he preached in that little town. And when you go down the hill and you go to the general store, they have a general store. They have penny candy in there. Some of that was back when you were a kid. When I bite into it, I can't even get my teeth up. It's like rips it up there. My kids love to go to that penny candy store. When you go down that hill to the left is this big, what they call Roadhouse Saloon. And my father-in-law has probably preached to everybody in that Roadhouse Saloon. And now he's dead. They heard all the preaching they're going to hear. Who's going to preach to them? There's nobody left in the town that's preaching the gospel. The Bible said about the Old Testament prophet that they will know that there was a prophet among them. That's right. Amen. Amen. They've heard all the preaching they're going to hear. And they said, no, 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 you fool. No, you old man. No, you religious idiot. And now he's with the Lord. And apart from some work of God, they're going to die and go to hell. And they're going to miss out on eternal life. We have eternal life. Second thing. That's a great hope is found in Titus chapter 2. Look, if you would, at verse 13. These aren't all of them. I won't keep you long tonight, but I'll just give you these truths. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That means all men can be saved. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I hope that's you. I hope that you're living soberly, righteously, and godly. I hope that you're denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Verse 13, here's the admonition. Looking for that blessed what class? Hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Paul's teaching us here that another one of the great hopes that a Christian has is the coming of the Lord. You know, have you been watching the news? One pope. And the whole world goes nuts. I watched that man get out of there and robed in his white, cross around him. And everybody, the Holy Father, the Holy Father, the Holy Father. I got news for you. There's one Holy Father, and it's not Pope Francis. And I think, what does that man think himself? You know, a man does know himself. You know yourself. The whole world treats him like a god, and he knows he's a sinner. It's amazing. They call him the people's pope. And so the people are excited to see him. Now, they're lining the streets. They're buying tickets, and they're having all of this fanfare for the people to meet this man. I kind of think that that's a little bit, puts a little bit of a shadow on the Church of Jesus Christ. If the world is excited to meet the Pope, and our president even goes out there and welcomes him, shouldn't the church be excited to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes? Shouldn't we have it? I mean, they in Cuba, and we just had some people come back from Cuba. They were cleaning the streets. I never been to Cuba, but from the news, it looked like they needed to clean their streets. They were trying to fix the buildings. In Washington, D.C., they're taking care of all, everything. They got it all pristine, and they're all ready to meet the Pope. The Bible says that if we as a church have an expectation that the Lord Jesus is coming in that great hope, we would purify ourselves. It means that we would prepare ourselves, that we would make our lives clean under the blood of Christ, that we'd be filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we'd be excited to meet our Savior. If you're excited to see the Lord, say amen. Amen. I mean, my dad, my father-in-law, was sitting in a chair. He asked her for some water. So mom gave him some water, and then she went into the kitchen. And if you've ever heard anybody die, you know what happens. And she came back. And by the time she went to the kitchen, Jesus showed up in that room. I believe that when a Christian dies, you see the Lord Jesus. Stephen saw him standing up, and he saw the Lord. I believe that as you transition from death in, or from life into death, or from this world to that world, that he promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. We see him by faith now, but you will see him by sight. And he'll just say, come on, let's go home, Orville. The coming of the Lord. It could happen tonight. The whole world one day is going to be made right by our Savior. Our problems all go away. We'll be with him. Pastor, I'm hurting tonight. Well, I'm hurting tonight. Pastor, we got some difficulties. I do too. I can't promise you that your hurt goes away or that your difficulty goes away, but I can promise you that the grace of God is sufficient. That's right. And I can promise you that he's coming to get us one day. That's whether he takes us through the portal of death or he takes us through with the trumpet shout, we'll be with him for all eternity. What a hope we have. Psalm 119. Verse number 49. Not only do we have a great hope in eternal life, not only do we have a great hope at the coming of the Lord, but I love what the psalmist wrote here. Verse 49, he's talking to the Lord here. This is a prayer. This is a cry from him. And he says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to what? To hope. This is my comfort and in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord." He's saying, I was faithful to that word and have comforted myself in that word. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy what class? Precepts. You know, another great hope to the Christian is the Word of God. Amen. What would we do without the Bible? Where do you go when you're lost? Where do you go when you need direction? Where do you go when you need comfort? Where do you go when you need your soul lifted? Where do you go when the storms of life are raging? Where do you go when the relationships of life are crashing? Where do you go when your whole world gets turned upside down? We go to the unchanging Word of God. Amen? What a hope. Do you read your Bible? Shame on you. Shame on me. Call myself a Christian. You call yourself a Christian. We should, and we're not in the Word of God. No wonder we tremble so much. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. You know, Beverly said something to me, and it's the first time I ever experienced this in my life when your wife is hurting, guys, and you don't even know what to do or say or can't do anything about it. And so when the phone rang, of course she was devastated, and that was what it was. But then you kind of feel pressure to say the right thing. I don't know any man who ever says the right thing. You feel somewhat. So I tried. Of course, what all do you say? You say the Bible. And she said, "Tom," she says, "I know the Bible and I hear the Bible." She said, "But it doesn't take away the pain." And so I said, "Okay, I don't know what to do with that." So I backed away a little bit. I didn't want to push her. I let her go in the other room and I sat at the table and I said, "Now, God, what do I do?" And God said, "She's right. One day there will be no more pain. But life has pain. But here's what the Word of God does do to you in the midst of your problem. It keeps you moored and tied to the truth so that you don't lose hope." See, as a Christian, when we go through difficult times, and we're going to go through difficult times, the way that we walk and go through those difficult times ought to be different than an unsaved person. Amen? You can cry and I can cry, and we can drop and we can drop, and we can melt and we can do whatever in the midst of our grief, but we are not allowed to sorrow without hope. You can lose control of your emotion, but you cannot lose control of your faith. You cannot go into a sinful position because of grief. You're allowed to sorrow, but you got to sorrow with hope. And where do we find hope? The psalmist said, "Remember the word which thou caused me to hope." I watch a lot of people say things about God they should never say in the midst of their suffering. I see a lot of people make decisions they should never make in the midst of their suffering. And they make them not from a position of faithfully hoping upon the Lord, but a fearful position or an anger or fleshly position. I understand. Even the word of God won't take away the pain. But the word of God will keep you anchored in the midst of the grace of God. Amen. And so what a hope we have. And the last hope. I got tons more, but I'm just give you one more. Go, if you would, to back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Pick up, if you would, verse number 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or buried. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Do you believe it will be him? He himself? Say amen. Amen. "With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, they'll rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore," say that word, "comfort one another with these words." I think about where I find myself tonight, and I think about these four hopes. Number one hope is that I have eternal life. The second hope is that Christ is coming one day. The third hope is the word of God. And the fourth hope is that there's the resurrection that I'll be part of, and that this body may go into the ground, but man, one day we're going to be raised up to a new body and be able to have a glorified body, to be with the Lord in the air, to be in heaven, to be with Him forever, to celebrate together. And oh, what a day that will be. Amen? Amen. Amen. I hope you will not only learn these hopes, but I hope that you will dwell upon them, practice them, and work them in your life. All right.